What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What line do you get asked to do the most as Sandy Cheeks?
Dirty Dan.
Which one of you fellers is the real Dirty Dan?
She's the strongest and the smartest.
Welcome to Lightweights Podcast. My name's Joe. Today we have Carolyn Lawrence, voice actress of Sandy Cheeks from SpongeBob and Cindy Vortex from Jimmy Neutron. Are you holding anything?
Or that's no, just... but I'm pretending.
Yeah. I'm sitting with a legend today as I'm so stoked to see the inner workings of how SpongeBob is made for the past 25 years.
They used to physically paint all the cells still.
Frame by frame?
Yeah. And my friend Teal, who's our colorist, like the color that is SpongeBob, she created.
Carolyn is an incredibly accomplished actress, and I couldn't be more thankful that she shared her story with us today.
Now she's just there. She's just there anytime. She's just always around. And I think sometimes she shows up when I'm mad.
When you're punishing your kids?
Yeah, you're right.
Go to your room.
Exactly.
So if you're new, make sure to hit the subscribe button. Let me know who else you want to see on the podcast. And please enjoy Sandy Cheeks. What's it like having one of the most successful shows for the past 25 years still going on?
Oh, dear goodness. We're going to start with huge. Okay. It's bizarre. It's everything. It's fantastic, obviously. It's surreal in a big way. Like, it's hard for me to even comprehend how big it is. Like, if I think about it too much, I'll just fritz out. Because it's overwhelming. I mean, who would have... There's not a country you can go to where there's not something.
Video games, theme park rides, you just did the Super Bowl?
Right? Did I stress out about that for, like, 2 solid weeks before we did that? I was such a wreck.
Did you have to learn football to try and... Or are you aware of it?
I am not aware of it. I did my best. I watched the sideline reporters to the best of my ability. I took a million notes. I did all this research. I got myself all together. But then when you're there and it's live, it all just kind of falls out. Like there's no prep for that.
And there's no delay from the actual game to the stream?
No, we were live the whole 3.5 hours that the game was going.
Were there any fumbles on your end? Not only are you doing this now, but you have to do it in character, as what she would say, like on the spot.
It was funny today because actually I was talking with my friend, Mike Stoyanov, and I was trying to find, I had an improv moment that was such a blur that I don't really remember what I said. And so I was trying to find it online. I was trying to find if anybody videoed it or anything, because I have no idea what came out of my mouth.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe that was a fumble.
So when the cast of SpongeBob finds out they're doing the Super Bowl on the very first ever, their own live stream, what do you have to do to prepare for a moment like that?
Well, I don't think you can truly prepare because it was kind of an unknown, right? Like, the technology was new. Bill had done a game previous to that. Bill Fagerbakke, who plays Patrick, he was like the experiment on a game. But this was a whole new thing. So the technology was new. The interface of everything was new. It was the first time anybody had done it. So there was only so much prep to be done, right? Because you don't know what's going to happen.
I mean, Larry the Lobster running onto the field is crazy to see. How?
The funniest thing is we were also the technology behind it. So Tom and Bill, Patrick and SpongeBob, were in the announcer's booth with the announcer, Nate and Noah, right? They were all there together on a green screen in their mocap suits and the whole thing.
What's a mocap suit?
Okay, so a mocap suit.
Motion
capture, which I've always wanted to do in my whole life, and I was so excited I finally did.
Yeah.
And it was exactly as I thought. It was fantastic. So they put you in this suit that has sensors all over it. And the sensors talk to the computer, and as you move, your character moves on screen. So whatever you do, your character does. So in my mind, I had big ideas. I wanted to like cartwheel in, and I wanted to do karate, and I wanted to do all this stuff. And then when I got there and they got me in the suit, you're like tethered to electronics. Like there's no cartwheel that's going to happen.
Yeah. How does it capture the face and the motions?
It has a, okay, so you wear like this helmet thing, and funny enough, it has an iPhone on it, and the iPhone's looking at it the whole time, and it's got, it marks the sensors. I think Crystal just posted on Instagram for me a little thing about, so you could see the whole mocap getup, but it was wild. So the funniest thing, so I did a bunch of mocap. But then for the game, I was actually sitting in a trailer in the parking lot with Larry the Lobster and a director and a whole bunch of people with the computers. And we were that part, we were just sitting, looking at like monitors, and we had mics. So the mocap was one thing. And then some of the other stuff was just live voice. But it was funny because you have to watch the game the whole time and you're waiting for the director to go, we're throwing to you. And then you're like, what am I going to say?
So you just have to be on standby waiting.
All the time, the whole time. And I had notes, all these notes in front of me, and I had all these jokes, right? But it wasn't for me, like the director has to call on me, right? Like,
so you have to wait for the right moment.
So I have to wait for somebody to say I'm going to be used. So I'm sitting at the mic throwing out my bits. And they're not going to air, and nobody's ever going to know what they were. And I want you to know they were so good.
I'm sure they were. I mean, when you're comparing people who are from Texas talking about how great Texas is, it's so funny.
But that did make me laugh. I was like, oh, I had so many funny bits behind the scenes, and nobody, whatever.
Do you think they would do it again next year?
You know, I think they would do it. What I didn't know about football and the Super Bowl was that it rotates. It rotates networks. So I think this year was special because it was CBS.
Which is
Paramount Global, right? And next year, I don't know who it's going to be. And would they want us? I doubt it. I think they want their own brand, right? But maybe when it circles back to CBS. Or maybe if all the mega things merge.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows?
So SpongeBob has done so many things outside the realm of just their show. What other moments like the Super Bowl were there that stick out to you?
I don't even remember what year it was, but we did the Just for Laughs comedy festival in Montreal. Is it Montreal? Yes. And that was really fun because that was early on in the show when it was, you know, it has its ebb and flows, right? Like there was like a huge fan thing early on, and then it kind of settled in, and then it happens again when a new country starts airing it or whatever, and then it settles again, and then so it kind of the popularity, you know, is relatively consistent, but there are those moments. So when we did the Just for Laughs comedy festival in Montreal and we were leaving the theater, we came out the side door and we were rushed by fans like we were rock stars or something, and we had to run down the alley, and we were all like, on what planet did we ever think we'd be like chucking as animation voiceover people from a mob of fans?
Is it true that SpongeBob is in over 60 languages?
Yeah, and I think, I don't know the number count. The last time I read anything, we were in like 162 countries, but I think we're in even more now. I'd have to research that.
Is it weird for you to see Sandy in another language?
I have yet to actually hear her. This is one of my, so.
Is she still obsessed with Texas in?
I don't know. I need people to tell me.
Yeah,
we need to
figure that out.
I need people to get online and tell me in their home countries what it's like, because I really do want to know. And it's funny that I had actually pitched for years now. I want to meet the other Sandys. Cool. I want to meet the other Sandys. I want to know, as women, if the show changed their life in any way, like it changed mine, I want to know more about their lives and their experience with it. And I think it would be a really cool thing. Now, if I could just get the studio to agree with me, we'd have a thing.
Yeah. How did Sandy change your life?
As an actor, one, it gave me consistency of income, which is like unheard of because we're, you know, you're a gypsy. Like you get hired on something, you're like, yay. And then it's canceled or it ends and you're like, oh, you know, you can go from lots of money to zero from week to week. So it changed that for me. It gave me some of my best friendships. One of my dearest friends works in production. I have several friends who are like behind the scenes from just those years of all working together, right? That's amazing. The cast itself, we've been together 25 years now. So that's kind of a bizarre family dynamic. We've all known each other so long. We've seen each other get married and divorced and have kids and lose parents or get pets. Or, I mean, it's been an amazing journey that way. But personally, it made it possible for me to be a single mom. Because without the consistency of income and the flexibility and schedule, I wouldn't have been able to have my kids. So I'm forever grateful for that. That's the bigger picture of all of it.
I got chills from that. That's so cool. And yeah. As far as the cast, you guys seem so tight-knit and close and really friends with each other. Yeah. Anytime you guys are all together on camera. And I feel like that's so rare, especially after 25 years of a show together.
Right. It makes me laugh because a lot of shows, I see the press events, right? And they're like, oh, we're also, I'm like, no, you're not. No, you're not. There's no way you guys are actually friends. You are full of it when you're, okay, so fine. But no, we really are.
You all seem like you're really truly in love with your characters. It's so cool to see.
You know what's so crazy to me? I think about our creator, Steve Hillenburg, the creator of the show, and just how brilliant he was on so many different levels. So obviously he's brilliant in creating the show, creating the characters, the writing, the art, because he was a marine biologist, you know, bringing...
In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking we could pull one of the best autographs in the game, but guess what? With zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com. The only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now, when I buy Slab Packs on Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. What I love is the display of the available cards, the hit rates, and the grading. Arena is a marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying, and with Arena Club Slab Packs, they're revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling. You can have them officially graded by Arena Club. The Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent, with a full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform you have to check out. Right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/lightweights. Wow, that's a crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's $40 right there. Anyways, go to arenaclub.com/lightweights for 10% off your first purchase. This episode is sponsored by Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning platform available on desktop or as an app, and that it truly immersifies you in the language that you want to learn. Maybe you have an upcoming international trip or you want to connect with a family or a friend. I know a lot of people who want to learn a new language just to pick up a new hobby. I can personally attest to this as I used Rosetta Stone when I went to Italy for my honeymoon. It helped me brush up on the Italian that I learned back in school, and I was able to get through the land and speak the native language. It made it so much more fun, plus my wife loved it. They're the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish. There's no English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language. Plus, there's lifetime membership and access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off that language learning. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Lightweights podcast listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language learning courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. It's the Joe Guarantee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That to the mix, like, he was brilliant on so many levels. But one thing I don't think he even realized was his innate understanding of human beings. And when he cast the show, he had some sort of magic, because he really did see who we were and what we would bring to the character beyond a typical casting session. I don't know if that makes sense, but like, he had some magical skill to see that we were part of truly our characters as human to character. I don't know. It's hard to explain. But we are all in various ways similar to our characters, more so than maybe we thought we were when we got hired.
when the entire SpongeBob cast all came together at first, was there a table read of everybody doing their voices together?
You know what's so funny? I was so nervous those early years. It's like a blur. I was so freaked out because everybody I felt was more accomplished than me. Like, everybody had these resumes and had been doing this forever, and I hadn't. And I was so intimidated that I can't even remember. We didn't do table reads. There were a couple of seasons where they tried it out just to see, to change it up a bit, and it didn't really last.
Because animation doesn't do table reads?
Some animated shows do. A lot of the major network shows, like The Simpsons and stuff, they do table reads. We never did. And I personally feel that part of the magic that happens on our show is that initial energy, right? So the first time we read a script, the first time we think something is funny, the first time we have any improvs, I love that we record that. Because if we did a table read, those moments would disappear. They would never be recorded.
How much of SpongeBob is script versus improvisation?
Well, what we do is we usually do three takes of everything. So the first two takes, they encourage us greatly to do them as written.
From front to end?
Yes.
Okay.
And then the third take, we get to play. So it's both. So it ends up with the showrunner and the editors and everybody else to decide which takes they like. But the improv is always in there. But yes, they prefer as written, then play.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
Was Sandy always in love with Texas from the beginning?
Oh, yeah.
That's how the creator saw it?
Yes. And here's another Steve. When I got hired... and I wish I had kept it. I don't know what the heck. You know, you don't know in a life like what's going to become iconic or whatever. You just have no idea. But he had sent me these stacks of information. I mean, binders of information on the ocean, on squirrels, on Texas, and I just looked at it and was like, oh my goodness. I don't know that I can meet this man's expectations. Yeah. So all that was there in his mind from the beginning.
And that was your first intro to Sandy Cheeks.
Right. Right. I mean, I auditioned for her. But when you audition, they just give you a little tiny, paragraph of dialogue and a little explanation of what she is.
Do you get art of what she looks like?
Did I have art? Good question. This goes into the blur scenario. Yes, there was probably a drawing. Yeah. And it says, like, she's a squirrel. She's from Texas. She's a scientist. She's smart. She's athletic, or things like that. And then they give you the little blurb. And I remember thinking, okay, obviously she's very bright. And squirrels are very fast in my, you know. They chatter, and so those were the things I tried to hook into.
And the strongest critter in Bikini Bottom.
The strongest. She's the strongest and the smartest.
That was so cool. You also voiced on Jimmy Neutron, you did Cindy Vortex.
Yeah, yeah.
Did that help segue you into SpongeBob? Did Did they see your work from that?
No. Actually, I was doing SpongeBob first.
Oh, SpongeBob came out first?
We did SpongeBob in 99.
Oh, when did Jimmy Neutron come out?
I don't know.
I thought Jimmy Neutron was first.
Am I wrong? I could be wrong. I don't track time well. This is something we can all learn about me. I do not track time well, which is probably why I had my second child at 49. I'm just saying.
Was SpongeBob really in development since 1994?
Yeah. I mean, those things, they work on forever.
Before they actually get to the network mm-hmm. to start mm-hmm. filming?
Mm-hmm.
So cool.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of things stay in development for a crazy amount of time. Or they'll do a pilot, and then it sits somewhere, and nobody can decide whether they want to green light it or not, and the powers that be have to figure out all sorts of who knows what, and it sits there for a while before they decide to move forward.
Do you remember SpongeBob's debut episode? Were you watching it?
I was not watching it.
You weren't?
No.
Well, do you remember the first time you saw it on TV?
I don't remember. So when I watch things, I get really up in my head. Okay, it's hard for me to watch things because I'm like, oh, I could have done that better. Oh, why'd they use that take? I get super critical, which is not healthy. So I try not to watch a lot, especially early on, because I was so nervous that I was afraid I would freak myself out even more if I watched it.
I vividly remember one of the first episodes where we got to determine as audience what was going to happen in the episode. And we got to call a number and they're like, thank you for your vote. And I must have been 10 or 11, but it was the coolest thing. And I felt like I was really part of it. And from there, I just got hooked on SpongeBob. I felt like I was really there. It was such a moment.
Yeah, yeah.
How did you come into voicing Sandy in the first place?
Oddly enough, my whole life has been a series of accidental fantastic moments. So I had been auditioning in LA every day, all day, every day, Monday through Friday, in animation, commercials, on camera, whatever. I did a bunch of sitcoms, trying to do everything, right? And I could not book animation to save my life. I just couldn't. I always had callbacks, but I never seemed to get the job. Well, maybe here and there, but nothing like great.
Was that the goal for you, an animated show?
The goal for me was employment. In general. The basic goal for me was make a living. But I was on the sidewalk in Las Feliz with a friend of mine named Quentin Flynn, who's a phenomenal voice actor. Well, phenomenal voice, just actor, musician, all of it all the way around. But anyway, we were on the sidewalk in Las Feliz, and he ran into a friend of his, and we were all chit-chatting. And she said to me, are you an actress? And I was like, isn't everybody in LA? You know, it felt so like, I don't know. It just felt weird. And she said, no, do you have representation? I'm like, yes. She said, I have a project I'm working on and you have such a great sound. I'd like to bring you in for it. And I'm like, okay. Because everybody here is so full of malarkey. I mean, I feel like there's so much that people say and they don't ever follow through. And
it's Hollywood, baby.
It's Hollywood. And it gets so old. And her name is Donna Garrillo. Donna, forever. Thank you. You know, like, unreal. She called me in and it was SpongeBob.
What was your first interpretation of that?
Well, like, because you don't have the whole show. You just have your character. So I didn't really, I mean, to me, it was just a cool squirrel. So awesome. You know, I didn't have context for it. And then I went through a couple of callbacks and met the creator and blew my mind, you know, because he's amazing. And I still to this day, it's so bizarre. Like, I actually got the job. What? Huh?
Was the show on Nickelodeon at that time?
It hadn't aired.
Sorry, not on Nickelodeon. Was it greenlit for Nickelodeon?
Correct.
So they were already looking for who to start
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
When you got that call, what'd you think?
It was mind-blowing. I immediately went from, oh my goodness, I landed a series finally, and how am I ever going to really do this well?
So back in 1999, did they hire you for one pilot, and then there were months, and then you got the season, or was it, we're doing the season right away?
We're doing the season right away. They had already done the pilot, so it was already greenlit, so they already knew, and Sandy wasn't in that very first 11 minutes. She was in the second one, Tea at the Tree Dome. So yeah, it was already going, but so, oh my God, I sound so neurotic, which I am. It's okay. But, so the first like 3 years I was on what's called a day player contract. which means every week they have the choice to use you or get rid of you. There's no guarantee that. So every week for like the first.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
3 years, I was like, am I gonna get fired?
Oh, so Sandy wasn't a main character yet?
She was, but it doesn't mean they have to keep me.
But why would they change? I guess sometimes they do change out the voice,
they
huh?
do.
Oh, that's nuts.
They do.
So then after 3 years, you got the contract.
Right. This is it. Right.
Wow. Wow.
Right.
Wow.
And I remember being at a party once. I was at a party once, and the creator, he's such a sweetheart. He came up to me and in all my neuroses, something about it. He was like, well, something like, you know, you're doing a great job or whatever. I was like, oh, thank goodness. I've been so worried you're going to fire me. And he goes, I can do that.
That's so funny. How do you think Sandy Cheeks' voice has grown over the past 20 years? Were you ever nervous at any point that your voice might change affecting the character?
I do think it changes. I think it changes. I mean, honestly, it changes seasonally. We all, you know, you get a cold, you have allergies, whatever. You're working anyway. You're working through it.
You don't call out for if you have a cold?
If it's really bad.
Where
you sound super terrible, sure.
Right.
But if it's just that nagging, like, annoying, I'm going to have a problem, but I don't yet. You try to record anyway. I don't know. I feel like as we're all aging, there are some changes. But hopefully it's consistent enough that the fans are okay. I don't know. I know that she's probably less speedy than she used to be, only because I'm less nervous.
Shows are notorious for overshooting and then cutting stuff in the edit.
Uh-huh.
Do animated shows do that as well? I can't imagine them drawing extra scenes and then be like, nah, that didn't work, and cutting that out.
Not generally, because on our show anyway, they storyboard out the whole thing. So the whole thing is drawn panel by panel.
For the exact 22 minutes that it's supposed to be.
Right. And then if they realize in the script that it's too long, I think they try to edit before we even get to that point. You know, they try to edit the panels down or rework the work. I'd have to actually ask them about that. But no, I think they try really hard to get it in the right timing before we record.
You've done a SpongeBob movie.
Yeah, many now. I think three?
Three.
Four? Three?
I think maybe
there's
four.
One in the can.
Whoa! So one's coming out?
Yeah, there's a Sandy Cheeks, coming out at some point. I don't know. When?
Did you see the script already for it?
It's already recorded. It's all done. It's all done. It's just I don't know when it'll air.
Are you excited for that?
Yeah, I would love to see it. I would love to know anything about it. I mean, we recorded it and it was finished and everything, but I've never seen anything. So I'll be like the rest of you. I'll be like everybody out there watching it going, is it good? Do we like it? Am I terrible? I don't know.
What's the difference in recording a voiceover for a movie versus a television show?
I feel like the television show, because it's 11 minutes, it's just a quicker pace, right? There's a lot of, I love our show because of the physical comedy. I mean, we have a lot of physical comedy in our show, which is awesome. But when you do a movie, you get to have more arc in as an actor. You get to have more of a journey. So that is fun to me.
What about when you're recording, because you're still recording SpongeBob now.
Yeah.
You do it on a set schedule, Tuesdays and Thursdays?
Wednesdays and Fridays. Yeah.
And what are you recording for new episodes or right. just like random things that come along, maybe like commercials, promos? Is all of that factored in together?
Yeah. Yeah. But mostly new episodes. And right now we still have everything happening. I mean, there's the spinoff Camp Coral. There's the Patrick Starr show. There's the original SpongeBob. There's movies in development and the one that's in the can that's finished, that I can't wait. So yeah, it's a crazy thing. It was funny because for 20 years, probably, we were Wednesdays. Wednesdays was our day to record, right? And then COVID happens, and then everybody's at home, and then we're all trying to record from various, like, honestly, like, I'm in a corner in my office. I don't really have a booth.
Do they send you a mic, or do you have to go pick one up?
They sent us a mic and a laptop. And I was like, I don't know how to set it up. I don't know. I don't know anything about sound and recording. And, like, I was, oh, man, I was a hot mess.
And did you end up doing it?
Yeah, we did it for the whole time. But when that started, they realized, you know, that they could record anytime. Everybody was home. The schedule got kind of like, it could be anytime, anywhere that they wanted us to do something. And that's when they picked up all the spinoffs. I think because we're such a well-oiled machine that we didn't miss any of our deadlines for air or for anything. And they actually started making more shows than they ever did before COVID. Wow. So it got busier. That was great. You know what's great? Is being home with your two kids and all your pets and trying to record during COVID. That's fun.
Is that a nightmare?
That was super fun.
Oh, actually fun?
No, it was awful. No, there were parts of it that were really fun. Being home that much with my kids was amazing because you don't, as a parent, you don't get to spend that time with them usually. You're at work. You know what I mean? Like, you get them ready for school. You go to work. They go to school. You see each other at the end of the day. But COVID, it was 24/7 that we were together, which is phenomenal and also horrible. But I do miss it.
Right.
Like, during it was so hard. You know, I'm trying to record and I'm yelling at them to be quiet, or I'm yelling at the dog. I'm like, give me a minute.
Take him outside.
Yeah. And it was hard in the moment, but now I really miss it. Like, now I'd like to go back and do it over again.
With you guys being a well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that South Park films and creates their ideas in an episode in 7 days or 6 days?
Uh-huh.
Is that crazy coming from that world to see how fast they're able to do it?
I think it's just a completely different genre, in a way, if that's the right word. Like, I just feel like their comedy is so different than ours.
Right.
Theirs is more off-the-cuff, like...
Pop culture happening now.
Yeah. So it makes sense.
But even from the entire animation standpoint, does it take a while for animated shows to really come through and make a 22-minute episode?
Yes.
Because they have to draw everything and...
Right, and you have to do you have to compose the music that's in the background. You have to do the special effects. You have to... I mean, it's a very involved process for our artists. Yeah.
How has SpongeBob's animation evolved over the past 25 years?
So early on, it was still all hand done. I would go in... I loved production. I still love production. I would go back and I want to see all the painters painting the cells. Like, they used to physically paint all the cells still.
Frame by frame?
Frame, yeah. They used to physically do everything. And my friend Teal, who's our colorist, used to hand mix all the colors. Like, she sat with her paint palettes and would hand mix everything. Like, the color that is SpongeBob, she created.
That yellow.
That was all her. But now, as technology has changed, now all those artists and all of our production had to switch over and learn how to do things electronically.
Electronically on the computer?
Yeah. With something called a Cintiq. So a Cintiq is like a computer that has all the art supplies, but digitally. So now you go on the Cintiq and you pick your color and you pick your brush and you pick your everything, but it's not tangible like it used to be.
So the animated rooms used to have just drawings everywhere.
Everywhere.
And now it's just all in the crazy.
Yeah, sometimes they still do. So they do things called gross-ups on the show, like when they have a close-up, like, and it's really gross, like SpongeBob's
snot or whatever, lips. Taking a bite of the Krabby Patty?
Yes, sometimes they still paint those.
Those still look, yeah, okay.
Yeah, they'll hand paint those.
Did Steven draw those himself too?
Oh, yeah, he did a ton of artwork. I mean, he had his team do it when the show was in production, but he always, yeah, he had the skills. Back in the day, they used to throw a lot of that stuff out. Like, I used to go into the studio and there'd be all this stuff in the trash can and I'd be like... So I have weird random things at home.
Did you try and collect your character?
When possible, but I also just collected things that I thought were beautiful. Some of the backgrounds and stuff are so beautiful. Yeah.
How does working on SpongeBob compare to working on Jimmy Neutron?
Oh, it's interesting because they were both such great experiences. Jimmy Neutron was fun for me because it was a movie first. And as an actor, like I said, I really liked the journey. I liked the emotional journey that Cindy had in the movie. And then it went to series. And that show was all digital from the beginning. That was CGI. I don't know all my terminology. But I, yeah. So I didn't have the same interaction with the fine artists like I do on SpongeBob. But that was a really fun. So here's my random career thing again. So I was frustrated with my agent at the time. Very frustrated with my agent because I felt like they just weren't doing anything. They take credit for getting me on SpongeBob, which they didn't because it was Donna on the sidewalk. But all right. And I didn't feel like they were getting me out, or I didn't feel like I was getting opportunities. And I was really ticked off one day, and I was standing in the office, and I was standing at the agent assistant's desk, like, quietly angry. Yeah, pretty much. And they got a phone call, and I could hear the one side of it, which was like, uh-huh, she's about 10, she's this, she's that. And I'm standing there going, me, it's for me. And they hung up the phone, and they were like, all right, Carolyn.
Security's coming.
Oh, my God. Right? Well, first he said, you're scaring me a little, because I guess my hostility was quite palpable. But they said it's a scratch track. It's a scratch track for a movie. Now, a scratch track means that they need to start getting the animation ready, but they don't have their actors yet. Either they haven't signed their celebrities or they just haven't found their cast, but they have to start production because of money, right? So they bring people in that they'll never hire just to get it going. So they were very clear that they were hiring me to do a scratch track, and I would never in a million years get the job. And even when I started recording it, they would remind me constantly, you do understand that you're not going to... I was like, yeah, I get it. God. But I think what happened was when they got used to hearing me play her over the months, then when they started auditioning, nobody sounded... They just... I was familiar, right? And I think that's the end of it. I got the job. Like, they kept me. But that was another one of those bizarre, random... I have a bizarre, random life.
Said no at first, and then after hearing it for so long, were you surprised that they made that acceptance on you? Because they already told you that it wasn't
going to
happen.
You know what's funny? As it started going, I thought to my... This is one of those moments where I was like, no, you know what? I think I'm kind of rocking this. I think I got a handle on this. I think... There's a chance they might change their mind. I think I'm doing a good job. Yeah. So it was 50-50 when they said I could have it.
And then one by one, are they bringing in Carl? They're bringing in Jimmy. They're bringing in everybody else who's part of the show.
Right. Well, we were recording. I think everybody else was kind of set. The one that wasn't set was Libby, I believe, that they found a little bit later, Crystal. Yeah, it's such an interesting journey. You just never know. You just never know. You got to stay open to whatever is going to happen.
Are there any auditions that you went out for that you really, really wanted?
Yes. So I auditioned for The Incredibles, the first one, for the babysitter. And I had a million callbacks, and I met John Lasseter. And I was so psyched because all these years I've never worked on a big thing for Disney, and I've always wanted to, right? So there I was, and it was coming out. It was slated to come out the same year that the first SpongeBob movie was coming out, and they were like, nope.
Because they didn't want the competitor? Oh, no.
At least that's what I was told. Right. It could have been that I was terrible at the end of the day, but what I was told
was...
We can't tell her.
Make something up.
That's the other thing about Hollywood. You never really know if anybody's telling you the truth. So, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But what I was told was they were a little worried about having me in... Yeah.
Which makes sense.
It does.
Yeah.
But it would have been awesome.
Would have been so cool. So is that still on your bucket list to get into a big Disney movie?
You know, it doesn't have to be Disney. And... What I was hoping for is, here's what's funny. I actually feel that I'm a better actress than I am a voice actress. But the world didn't bring me that opportunity, right? You have to go where the world brings you an opportunity. So I would like to do a big animated feature that had some real epic soul to it, which a lot of the Disney movies do have.
Are you involved in any of the SpongeBob merchandising?
No, but I have some ideas. So I'm trying to get some merchandising together that is unique and fan-based and won't step on the licensing rights.
Licensing rights for Nickelodeon?
Correct. I don't know if you know that whole world.
Not really.
Okay. So if you want to do something like this.
Like a U2's action figure of Sandy Cheeks.
Right. Or your or this wonderful
backpack.
Loungefly backpack.
Made by Loungefly.
Made by Loungefly.
Licensed from Disney.
Licensed from Nickelodeon.
Nickelodeon.
Yeah. So you have to pay to have the licensing rights to be able to do artwork from the show.
Right.
Now, the fee for licensing rights is enormous. And it's not just the fee that's enormous. There's all these rules you have to follow. You have to meet a certain mandate of production. And I did go to Nickelodeon a million years ago, about 15 years ago, because I wanted to get the licensing rights. And I worked with an attorney and we negotiated for about 2 years. But then at the end of the day, because I was making shirts, I was doing samples of shirts on my dining room table. And I couldn't meet their mandates.
Because they want such a high number.
Right, but everything, like you, the legalities of it all, the numbers, the infrastructure, and I was like, you guys, do you realize I'm on my dining room table and
just
I can't,
my dolls.
I just can't, I what? So I was like, thanks, but I can't. But I'm gonna revisit it now because it's a lot of years later, and I've learned a lot, and I have more understanding, and I think I can pull it together.
Is it the same idea from 15 years ago?
It is. Of course, it's grown and changed because 15 years is a long time. But I'm really hoping I can pull it together now. And if I do, we'll see it. It'll be on Insta or whatever.
Oh, I can't wait.
I'll have a merchandising. I'll have a button.
I can't wait. I will be the first to buy.
Me neither.
What line do you get asked to do the most as Sandy Cheeks?
Dirty Dan.
The Alaskan Bullworm.
I don't know why that's so funny. You're Dirty Dan. I don't know. That's a big one. And then sometimes people just want the karate. Hi-ya! Yeah, all that.
That's so cool.
That's the other funny thing. So voice actors, like, everybody's like, well, you're just standing at a mic talking. But, you know, we're actually quite physical. Like, I can't. How do you do karate without actually doing it? Or whenever we say a character says goodbye, your eyes, bye-bye. I'm like, why am I waving? I wave. Nobody can see me. Or when you're running. Like, a lot of times, it is quite physical. It's not... I keep joking with the engineers that I need a Madonna mic. Of course, everybody's probably too young to know that. Because I hit my mic stand and stuff all the time. Because I...
Have you ever had to do anything crazy for recording? For example, if you were running, did they have to bring in a treadmill so that you can run on it?
Oh, no. We just run.
Yeah.
We just run. Sometimes, if we're doing stuff like you're bubbling down underwater, you'll take a big gulp of water and like try to talk, and yeah, sometimes we do crazy things, but more often than not you can just do it standing at your mic
when
yeah.
Sandy's lifting barbells,
right?
Are you holding anything or
no,
that's just...
but I'm pretending. Yeah.
That's so cool.
That's so silly. When I was doing, I did the Resident Evil 4 video game. The president's daughter, Ashley, is help me. Help me, Leon. She's like a, yeah. But there's a lot of physical stuff in a game, right? You're running and you're somebody's after you. There's just a lot of physicality. And I remember during that record, I was sitting on a stool and I had my legs like wrapped around the bottom of the stool legs, right? And you record for 4 hours straight for the most part. And when I went to stand up, my legs were like...
Were they just completely...
I was like, yeah. Like complete jello. I was sore for like a week. It was like I had run a marathon. It was the dumbest thing in the world. I was like, note to self, don't ever put your legs like that again. Yeah.
That was a horror game, no?
Yeah, it's a adventure. Okay, so I can't game. I'm the worst. I can't get to the level where I ever get to see my character.
Your kids can't help you?
Not yet. Well, my oldest probably could. She's 13, but now I'm not cool. Now she probably doesn't want to. Right?
Did Sandy do anything for the Broadway show?
No, unfortunately. That was an interesting moment in time because it's super fun that it was brought to Broadway. I was nervous about how it would translate. We weren't involved in any capacity. I would have loved to have talked to the actress that played me.
None of the cast members were involved?
I think Tom, SpongeBob, was because they used one of his songs. Because he's a musician. He's written a lot of the music for our show.
It just came out?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
That being said, we got to go we went and saw the premiere, and it was amazing. And I was so excited. I thought they did a phenomenal job. And visually, it was stunning, and I thought they did a really good job.
Was there something that you spent your first paycheck on that you were so excited?
No.
Saved it?
I'm so practical. I am... I'm so practical. Yeah, I don't splurge generally, except that I love houses and construction. That's where I splurge.
And that's something you do on the side now, correct?
Yeah.
Would you say that is it flipping houses or is it?
No, it's funny because I am so not a flipper. I am a buy, think about it forever, work on it forever, and then sell it. I am not quick.
Slow turn.
I'm the slowest renovator in the world. No, because for me, much like my acting, I have to fully feel it. So I have to be in a space. Like I can wake up at 2 a.m. and be like, ah, that's that problem. That wall needs to be there. Okay. But I have to be in the space to have those moments.
Is it challenging doing it in California? Because isn't getting permitting here really
slow? Oh, it's a nightmare. It used to be great. I used to do a lot of work in Burbank, and it was such a small town, and I could just go down, and I knew everybody at the permit desk, and I could ask my questions, and it was so awesome. And I'd come in, they'd be like, Carolyn, you know. I'd bring them paper because they always ran out. But now it's all changed, and now that stuff is farmed out to like a third party, and I can't ever get answers, and it's like the telephone game.
Yeah.
You ask this, and then they ask that person, and that person comes back with something completely not relevant to what I had originally. So now it's a hot mess.
Is that from COVID?
I think so.
Would you ever do it anywhere else, or do you want to stay in California when you're doing it?
I like being hands-on, so I think I would have to stay here. I am going to do one. I own something in New York, and I am going to try to renovate it remotely. I don't know how that's going to go, really.
Do you have a team out there to help you?
My dear friend and ex-husband lives out there. And so he's going to spearhead the project for me. That should probably be its own show. but yes, he's willing. And so I'm going to take him up on it. And we're going to try to renovate this condo remotely.
Oh, that'll be so cool. Do you ever do more than one at one time?
I have two going right now, the one I'm living in and one that's up at the beach in Ventura.
Okay. And then when do you expect those to be done?
Never. I don't know. It's funny because when I finally get something the way I want it is generally when I sell it and move.
Yeah. And then that's when you love it too.
Yeah.
Is that hard to let go?
There's only been like one that was really hard to let go of that I regret. There's one.
Mm-hmm.
But even that, there's just parts of it that I miss. Like, it's so ridiculous. I miss the pool house, I miss the pool, and I miss the garage. The rest of the house, so I don't know.
Yeah.
My poor children. Their whole life has been construction. What'd you do now, Mom? I'm sorry.
Do they think it's crazy that you're their mom?
I don't think that they really even... Well, first of all, when my first was young, I really didn't want people at the elementary to know what I did for a living. I didn't want her experience to be people be excited about what I do for a living. I don't know if that makes sense. I didn't
totally
want it to be about me ever. So I told everybody I was in real estate. So then I felt like a big fat liar when people started figuring out that I played Sandy. But it was really an effort to protect her. So I tried not to talk about my career around them when they were little. But now, yeah, now they know. I don't know. They're growing up so incredibly differently than I did that sometimes I am curious. Like, I wish I could get inside their minds and see their perspective. So I don't know what they're... I think it must be bizarre. On some level, it must be weird that people know their mom.
They grew up with their mom.
Right. And their mom, they don't even like sometimes. So, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, to have a fan be like, oh my God, you're so lucky she's your mom. And they're probably like,
you take her.
You try it.
Do you have a room just filled with all Sandy stuff?
No. So, my mom is the biggest SpongeBob fan on the planet, to an excess, probably.
How proud was she when you got it?
It's insane. It's so crazy, and she's still so lovingly crazy that she collects like a crazy woman, and she mails it all to me.
Oh, that's so fun.
So I have boxes and boxes and boxes and boxes and boxes and boxes stored because I don't have anywhere to put them. And generally, I don't want it all over the house because it makes me think about work.
Right.
Like, I don't want to think about work all day, every day.
Yeah.
But I've kind of gotten to the point now where there's a few things I really like having. Like, over the years, they've done, there was a Jimmy Neutron. When Jimmy Neutron first, when the float was in the Macy's Day Parade, they made a snow globe of the Macy's Day Parade with the Jimmy. And I have that. And that's pretty special. Like, I don't mind that being out. So some of those things I don't mind. But I don't want all of it.
Did you go to the Macy's?
No. But they asked us one year. And I forget why nobody went. But I actually just put in a request. And I said maybe I could do it this November.
Because there's a SpongeBob float, no?
Yeah.
Whoa.
So I might go hold the rope.
That'd be cool.
I know, right?
That'd be so cool.
And I asked my kids, I was like, wouldn't this be cool? And they were like, walk for hours and hold a rope? I'm like, yeah!
Do you ever show them characters that you're working on?
Oh, yeah. And a lot of stuff, like when I was working on the Sandy movie, which someday will come out that I don't even know the title of. There was a ton of songs in it. There was a ton of music. And I love singing, even though I'm not spectacular. It is one of my favorite things. And so I worked on the songs with my oldest.
And she helped.
She would help me with the songs.
Yeah. I remember getting the SpongeBob CD
uh-huh.
in third or fourth grade, and Texas was on there.
Yeah, yeah. It's so fun.
So when you're singing a song, are you tracking it like a regular song? Like, are you doing, like, line by line, and there's somebody in the mixing booth saying, like, let's do one more time, change the note a little higher?
Yeah, usually what they do is they have, like, the scratch track where the person who wrote the song is singing it.
Right.
Generally, that's a man, though.
And then you have to try and get it in that key?
And then I have to try. And I was like, I'm not, what? Sometimes I'm like, I can't find it, you guys. Like, he's singing, I have to go up a full octave or half octave or... I'm all over the place. So usually what we try to do is we try to do the song in big chunks and then go back and pick up areas where I am less than fantastic.
Less than fantastic.
But it's still my favorite. I love singing as her. It's amazing. But it's funny because I sang as Cindy sometimes on Jimmy Neutron and I was like, isn't that interesting? Cindy's a better singer than Sandy is. Why is that?
Why is that?
I think it has to do with placement.
Because you already start Sandy at a certain level?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
I think so, yeah.
Do you have to channel anything when you're doing Sandy? Or are you just like...
No, now. I mean, it's been so long. Now she's just there. She's just there anytime. She's just always around. And I think sometimes she shows up when I'm mad.
When you're punishing your kids?
Yeah, you're right.
Go to your room.
Exactly. Dang, damn it. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you are.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the plan going forward for SpongeBob? Till forever?
Seems that way. I don't know. I don't know what would shift. I do think that if that day ever came, you'd have to put me in a padded cell somewhere. I think I would need to, like, decompress for a while. I also have this fear about if anyone ever plays her other than me. Like, that's a bizarre thing, too. When you think about, like, iconic characters, Daffy Duck or whatever, that there was a moment in time where someone aged out or had health issues or whatever, and they brought in another actor, right? And I'm like, oh, what?
Didn't that just happen with Dora the Explorer?
Yeah, it happens. It happens a lot. That's okay. So this is part of the reason why. Why do they hire adults all the time to play kids? This is why. Because we generally can maintain our character for the entire run of the show. Kids, you have to replace all the time because they do age out. Yeah.
Because, yeah. I mean, in a couple of years, their voices change.
Right, right. And that's why you see so many, that's why, like, Nancy Cartwright's playing Bart forever. Because she won't ever, she's not going to age out of that. But what I mean is, like, maybe at 95 she will. I don't know. You know what I mean? Maybe I will at 100. And then I had... Oh, my God, my brain goes so many places. I'm like, okay, so if the day ever comes where I can't play her for whatever reason, don't I get to choose? Shouldn't I get to choose?
Who am I passing my helmet to?
Yes, I want to be the one who deems the next. Yeah, I don't know. They would never let me do that.
Do animated shows get syndicated after a certain, because sitcoms do after 6 seasons, right?
Right.
Do animated shows have that same
rhythm?
I don't
know what the heck is happening with us because now everything's streaming. So, like, I don't know how technically it's going to work. Because now we're on so many different platforms, right?
Right.
Because we're on Nick Jr. Will we ever be on CBS? We'll be on all the streaming. We're on Paramount. I don't know.
Is the whole industry just up in air like that?
I feel like it is to a certain extent. Certainly with animation. Because animation, there's more... we make so many more episodes in a year. There's so much more product, basically, and so many different places they can put it. Like, can they take an 11-minute SpongeBob, cut it down to a 3-minute clip, and put it on your watch? Maybe. You know what I mean? So I think they're trying to figure all that out.
How hard would it be navigating the industry now versus when you first started 25 years ago?
I think it's impossible. You know, it's funny because young actors always ask me, like, how do I get started? And I honestly have no idea now. Because in my day in Chicago, I had my DVD, right, of all my samples. And I would walk into the advertising agencies physically and be like, hi, this is what I do. I'd love to be on your commercials. And I could develop a personal relationship with people. Now you never meet anybody. Now you're sending stuff in electronically from your home or from a booth somewhere. They never see you. It doesn't feel personal anymore. And so I feel like my career was built through those personal relationships, like Donna on the sidewalk or harassing my agent at his desk or whatever it is. And now I don't know how you make those connections. I really don't.
Do you ever go to conventions?
I did a lot of conventions before I had the girls. But as a single parent, it's harder now because I don't want to leave them and I don't have... like a full-time, I mean, I have an amazing babysitter, but I don't have like live-in help or some kind of, nor do I want it.
Right.
But so it's harder now. So I haven't been going. I think we're going to do Comic-Con this year because it's our 25th anniversary of the show.
Yeah, crazy.
So I think we'll do some this year and maybe I'll drag my children along with me. I don't know. Yeah.
Are there any other big plans for the 25th anniversary of SpongeBob?
They say there are, but I think we're on a need-to-know basis. I'm sure they're behind the scenes coming up with all sorts of things for us to do.
Is there anything else that we didn't touch on that you think is important to share?
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
With the Bikini Bottom lovers.
Well, the Bikini Bottom, I'm just grateful. I just want you guys to know, like, it is so crazy how loved we are, and I am so grateful.
You guys seem so appreciative of everything, and seeing you guys all together interacting is so crazy to see, like, live.
I hope we get to do, you know, we did that one episode where we played our characters live. Uh-huh. I forgot what that episode was called. I would like to do another one because I wasn't great, and I'd like to go back, and I'd like to do better. But also just because it was fun for all of us to be together that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Carolyn, thanks so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
This is so cool getting to see you and talk to you and hear everything about your career. Is so incredible.
It's been a wild ride. Seriously. And continues to be so.
Congrats on everything.
Thank you.
Guys, go check her out. She's going to link down below. Thanks for watching. Bye, Waits. Out. That was so good. Thank you so much. That was so cool.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.